Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, this is Erica Ramirez, senior editor at Billboard, and today I have Josen Cummings and Taj Rani here with me. I'm going to let them tell you what they do. Josen, you go first.
I am a writer. I have a personal blog called UntilIGetMarried.com, but I write about music. Most recently, I wrote about the Chappelle and the Roots show for
for Billboard.
Thanks
for the shout out.
But I've been writing about music and pop culture for the past 10 years. So
you also write about relationships.
And I also write about relationships.
Yes.
I'm the dating reporter for the New York Post. So I kind of have my feet entrenched in that space.
And Taj, this is your second time on the podcast.
Yes.
With a different title.
Podcast Cherry has been popped as of last time.
Calm down.
I'm here as the associate editor of BET.com's music, lifestyle, and entertainment sections.
That is a hefty title.
If you're an associate editor for three different sections, I feel like that. You should just round that up.
I am.
Come on, BET.
So just the associate editor of BET.com.
You know what? Perfect time to just get into it and talk about one of the main topics for today, which is Robin Thicke. Josen reached out to me and said that he really wanted to talk about Robin
That's
Thicke.
That's all Josen.
Why would you do that?
Why
would you break down the fourth wall and tell people how this show came together?
Because I won't be saying anything about Robin Thicke.
I want to know, Josen, why is Robin Thicke something that you wanted to talk about?
I think... For me, what this album represents is something that we don't get a lot of in music, which is emotional honesty and being kind of like not just bearing your soul. Like a lot of R&B artists like go ahead and sing songs on how they feel, but they don't ever put those feelings in context. And so what I see Robin doing with this Paula album is just putting it all on the table. Now, his motives may be both superficial and it very well could be a publicity stunt, or it could just be a mechanism that he's using to sell the album and to make the album appealing. But what I don't like is he can get these jokes. He can get all the tweets that basically tear him down, but I don't think that we should be encouraging artists not to be as open as he's been with this. You know, and one reason why I've always respected Robin Thicke as an artist is that he's kind of done this before, just in happier times. He puts his he put his wife in music videos. One of the few artists to do that. He acted like he was married. And when he didn't, he wrote songs about messing up. So, you know, I just think that that's something that we don't want to give credit for, because it's easier to tear a man down or somebody down.
No.
Okay. I feel like Taj has something to say.
Sorry. I said I wasn't going to say anything about it, but I had to say something about it. So for me, I've never really felt like Robin Thicke was a completely genuine artist, and that's just my personal opinion.
What do you mean, as in what he sings about, or as a person?
So I always love to see growth in artists. I just feel like he's changed so much, like album to album. You kind of feel like there's always something a little different, and to me, it's not growth. It's just him being fake. That's just always how I felt. I've never been able to connect with him, no matter how good the music is, and I think he has amazing music. But there's just always been something about him that's made it difficult for me as a woman to connect. Like, he's making all this lovey-dovey music, and it's always just made me a little uncomfortable. So
him as an artist or as a person?
As an artist. I love the long hair, Jesus-looking Thicke on a bike running through New York City Thicke.
Okay.
The very, very first album. But with Paula, I think it's okay for you to apologize to your wife, but I think it's been done in public so much, it's turned into sort of a sad situation. Almost like he doesn't have anybody around him to talk to about his problems. Like, why are you groveling in public all the time? Like, just how that's his way to heal, I feel like it's not being considerate of Paula and letting her heal in the way she needs to. Like, no matter how quiet she's been, no matter how private she's been, he's putting it all on Front Street. During a BET Awards performance, he ended it with a picture of the two of them on the screen behind him.
Yeah, like the single artwork.
I've been saying this. Even if Robin Thicke is at fault for the demise of his relationship or the separation that they're currently involved in, he does have a right to grieve the way that he wants to grieve.
Yes,
artists, but artists, I am very pro artists using their music too.
Yeah, and yeah, he's allowed to do that.
I feel like because Paula Patton's a public figure also, it makes it a little bit different.
Sure, but it makes it different in ways that I don't think people are looking at, which is that why wouldn't she, as somebody who is famous and is in the business of keeping her name relevant, why wouldn't she necessarily be open to the idea of an album being made in her name, an album being her being the focus?
I guess it would be how personal he actually goes.
Because, like, that music video with those texts, whether they're real or fake, it was a little deep.
Those are all auto texts.
Like, those are be it real or fake. Like, you know, you watch a video and one of them is like, you know, you drink too much. Like, that's kind of, that's a personal thing. And I think that, you know, we're watching him try to get his woman back, but he's also, I think, fighting some of his own demons on it that have nothing to do with her. Personal opinion.
Right. I totally agree with that. But he's been open and honest in the past when not as many people cared about him, before Blurred Lines, about all sorts of things, addiction problems and stuff like that. Like, that's been an ongoing theme, if not in his music, in his story that he's put out publicly. So I just think that, once again, people aren't, a lot of people that are jumping on to this as a topic, this is his seventh album, and they haven't been paying close attention. You've obviously paid attention, because everything you said about him as an artist, I kind of agree with, but it's one of those things where he has talked about his relationship in so many different ways that this doesn't surprise me at all. This isn't shocking. And people who know his music should have expected this, no matter how misguided it is.
I just don't feel good about it. But that's it. It just makes me feel a little uncomfortable. Like, I'm
because
yeah.
It's TMI for you.
It's just, it's a lot. And It's a lot. It's sort of like an emotional overload. Like, you had the best year of your whole career last year, and then you started to fall from grace, and then it's like, this is...
But that's real. That's a cautionary tale, is it not?
Yeah.
No,
I
that's
think
true.
That I think what makes me annoyed by it is I wish he would have just put out the album, not said anything, and been like, here's the story. I think the public campaign that came before the album is what makes people a little hesitant to even listen to the album. I think, like, there's five songs I really like on the album, and one of the songs is where he pretty much tells the story, or the most important story, the Black Tar Cloud, where he talks about whoever, if it is Paula, taking pills, but jokingly, like, not really. She just wanted his attention and him, you know, them fighting and all this. It's a lot in one song, but I think that it is embarrassing to Paula Patton. I think Robin Thicke thinks he could get away with it because it shows more negative side of him, not necessarily her.
Well, he's gotten away with everything else up until that point, so I mean,
of
course.
What do you mean, gotten?
I wish she
of what, of like actual
face
personal
she...
actions or that public
yeah,
campaign?
I mean, all the nonsense that, that came before. It's sort of like you embarrassed her more than once before she cut you loose, or we knew she cut you loose, like
the photos of him partying. And
all those photos of him partying with women that weren't Paula, but I mean, you know, whatever.
They were not. Justin, I know you listened to the album. What are some songs that kind of stick out to you from
man,
Paula?
I can't really. I didn't get that. I did listen to the album. I didn't study the album though. So I mean, I hate saying this, but my favorite song really is "Get Her Back." That to me embodies like Robin Thicke's thing. Like that groove is kind of like what he does, and the
you're bringing up a good point. Hold on, Taj.
Wait, what?
I wonder if it's a. Do men feel differently about this album than women do?
I haven't noticed that. I mean, I'm not, my boys and I don't really discuss R&B albums at length. Maybe we should. Maybe that'll help in us.
If you talk about Drake, you could talk about other R&B artists,
please.
But you know, thus far, at least according to my timeline on Twitter, the men don't seem to be buying into this or defending him either. And
I've seen them call him a simp multiple times.
He's been
tweeted and retweeted.
He's been called a simp multiple times, and I think that this is again. Not to think that Twitter is any way an accurate reflection of real feelings or anything like that. Once again, the man was with her for 20 years. That's his high school sweetheart, and that's his wife. Now, most guys that I see on my timeline talking about it aren't even married.
And
can't even tell you what it's like to lose somebody of that significance. So, that being said... it just seems to me like a lot of, you know, throwing just – I'm not afraid to – everybody who knows me knows that I'm not afraid to talk about, like, having a broken heart or going through it or whatever. But, you know, something like – I was into it because I was into the story. And I'll always give Robin Thicke's new albums one listen at least because I at least have that much respect for his music. But no, it didn't grab me in the way that most albums by artists, by men especially, like a Drake who appeals to me because he isn't afraid to share his feelings. This album didn't do that for me. And part of it is just... It seems remarkably inconsistent. Everybody knows that it was rushed, and it sounds rushed.
It does sound rushed. Some songs are very corny. Very
corny, yeah. The sound is just not...
Yeah, there's one song called, like, Tippy Toes that is...
The Scratch the Back. Right. What's the song about leaving scratches on your back? I don't know.
Well, I'm not looking surprised to hear from Robin Thicke.
Track list. And, yeah, it's just nothing grabbed me. There was nothing there that was like...
You guys are making me feel so bad. I'm going to give it a strong listen later.
I think one thing that Taj and I brought up that is important is Paula Patton probably feeling embarrassed of it all. And... knowing that you have written about your relationships, mm-hmm. have you ever been hesitant or afterwards regret writing about it, thinking, oh, I'm going to embarrass her, make her feel some sort of way because I put our relationship out there?
No, because I've always said that, you know, and this is very selfish of me, but... who cares? That
women care.
That in talking about them, I'm telling my story. They're a part of it. I'm not telling their story. I don't want to give their side. I think that that's something that it would be interesting to talk to Robin about that in terms of how do you keep it on your side without – because there is a way to do it. It's not impossible to talk about your relationship without putting all of your girl or your ex-girl's business on Front Street. It's a very thin line, and you have to be very careful with it. But when you talk about your relationship, you want to make sure that you're keeping everything on your side, because and whatever they want to do with it, they can.
They have their own story.
Yeah, they have their own story, and you have to be careful that you're not telling their story, that you're not speaking on them on you're not speaking for them on their behalf. Even when I write about my girlfriend. My current relationship, which I'm very open about, I'm not trying to speak for her ever. I'm always trying to speak for myself and talk about my experience with that. I think that Robin does, you know, those text messages are a good example of, you know, they're very ambiguous the way they're laid out in the video. You don't know who is the sender of either one. And there is some weird shade being thrown there, right? The drinking,
it's all questionable.
The drinking the drinking text, and that's something like, well, who sent that, or who is supposed to have sent that? So you have to be careful in when it comes to certain things like that. But to your original question about just the album grabbing me because this is a man pouring his heart out. In order to do that successfully, the music still has to be good. You can't, and the music on this album just isn't as strong as, I didn't like Blurred Lines either, so, you know.
Right. We made you feel bad to the point where you're actually going to listen to Paula.
Yeah. I mean, I was going to listen to it, but I was really going to give it the once over like I gave his last album, because it just wasn't, it was just too much. Like, the last album had too much hype around it, and Blurred Lines, yada, yada, yada. It's great. Finally, 10 years into your career, you got that. But this, I'm just kind of like, I was going to listen anyway because I like R&B, but now I feel like it's kind of a pitiful situation. So I really do want to hear his side. I did listen to some of the stuff Joe Zen just said, so I'm going to listen. I still have my strong feelings, and they may or may not change. They probably won't, but I'm going to give it a strong listen. His performance on Sunday was good, so beautiful set.
So overall, is it desperate or endearing of Robin Thicke to do all of this?
Mm. Can you say desperate endearing? Can you like combine those words? Desperately endearing.
I think conceptually it's endearing. I think that the way he's gone about it is extremely desperate. Like,
the pre-album campaign is,
you just don't really
desperate.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
No matter how much you need that coin, you need to slow down and someone needs to be advising you, because it doesn't look like anybody is.
It's a very good point.
Sort of like how Rihanna like dropped Unapologetic and was like, here, take this album. Like, I'm doing it just because
that
I said.
Yeah.
He was just like, I was just in the album for 4 weeks straight and I have this product. Let's just push it out. And someone was like, yeah, cool. Probably that might work. But it's like, nobody.
I don't know.
Really,
something about holding the album.
Because it came,
and then putting it out and just having it speak for itself for some reason
only,
makes it more personal.
Only a year past?
Yeah, no, not totally agree with that.
Like, I think that if he would have done that, it would have felt more personal. And to me, that translates as genuine.
Because I don't doubt that he's actually working on, they have a kid together. There's dynamics in place that make it so that they can't not have any communication. They're probably talking. He's probably trying to do
he
something.
He said this morning that they have not had communication in 4 months.
Right, that's what he said.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and that, like, he'll still do dinner with some of her family, and she'll do dinner with some of his, but they have not seen each other since his birthday. It's been 4 months, and he said that the alcohol helps him get through it.
Mm.
That happened.
But, yeah, he should have, Erica, to your point, he should have waited.
Especially
if this album isn't about getting her back so much as it's about getting his feelings about this situation on record.
And purging himself of his guilt.
Yeah, you should. And purging himself and an emotional cleanse, whatever. Wait on it, dog.
For all that, he could have just named it Robin if it's not really about her and it's about you and your feelings.
Wow.
No, I mean, that's no shade. I'm just saying.
I think he. So on to another man that's put out an album this week, Trey Songz, which Taj is a huge fan of, and we both spoke to a couple weeks back on the podcast. Have you guys, I know Taj has, so I'm going to start with Jovan. Jovan, have you listened to his album, Trey?
I gave it a listen this morning all the way through.
What do you think?
And I was very impressed with it. I think that it's his best album since the Anticipation mixtape.
Absolutely.
You are just...
you know, but that's not to say... He hasn't made a good album since the Anticipation mixtape. So...
I'm
totally into... well, what was the album he came out with?
It was Anticipation, then Ready happened. Ready was the one that, like, kind of broke him.
Ready was dope.
Yeah.
Ready was...
was successful with Drake on it. Successful with Drake was on it.
Yeah.
Say I was on that.
Yeah. Okay, so the question for you, since you are very familiar
a
with Trey Songz, I feel like you
trayologist, don't
feel like you wrote his Wikipedia page or edited. evolution-wise from his past work to this album?
I think that with this current album, it's the closest, as far as having a cohesive project that's been official, I think it's the closest to Trey Day, which was his sophomore album. I think it's the best production that he's had since then. I think everything in between sort of had, you know, hollow sounds, or it was just overlooked. Like, he had Passion, Pain, Pleasure out in 2010, and great vocals, but nobody really seemed to connect with it. He had great songs, like a great tour and everything, but like Josanne was saying, since Anticipation, the mixtape before Ready, we haven't really heard him give music that you kind of feel like everybody relates to. He's sort of been making music for the ladies and stuff. I think that this one was a narrative from a male's perspective, but women can really like get into it, and they sort of feel it more than they've been able to feel other things. And I mean, he looks great, he sounds great, you can tell he's sort of upgrading all aspects of things.
I like
going
how he
on.
Added, he looks great.
I mean, whatever. I mean, it's just part of the game.
Well,
you know?
to our earlier conversation,
you know,
about that. Well, to about our other guy, he looks awful. Like, so awful that Robin Thicke, I mean, like, he looks so bad that you actually, he doesn't
it
look good.
It goes with the
but,
story.
It goes with the story. But,
yeah.
Now, Trey, and what do you all think about? I mean, Trey is so interesting to. Has been for quite some time in a weird way as an artist, because the one thing that this album did remind me of, and it's not to say that he hasn't been singing or anything like that, but the man can really, really blow. Like, he can really sing, and I think that in some ways he intended for this album to be to remind people of that in a way that he probably didn't care to remind people before.
I sat down with him out at the BET Awards, actually, and he said that he feels this is his best project in a really, really long time. He said he thinks this is his best album that he's done. And I think that he just sort of went into the studio and let it rip, really.
Stayed off mixtapes and didn't do too many of those trigger mixes, which for me I always enjoyed. But I felt like he was focused on this album.
I feel like he was, sorry, it's just about the trigger mixes. It just always kind of bothers me when singers rap and rappers sing like Drake. It's just, I always felt
but
like
he was good at it.
For a second.
He was really good at it.
I don't think that will stop.
Trey songs.
Well, Trey was a rapper before they knew he could sing, and then they were like, do that. So that's why. But I don't know. I like this album the most out of everything. Top to bottom, a listen. Like, if you can listen to an album front to back and not have the urge to really skip through half the stuff, especially when it's this long,
right?
I think it says a lot.
So here's the thing, is when maybe in this, maybe Trigger is the album for you, Taj. What was the last album that you liked the entire thing, where you could listen to the entire thing and actually enjoy the entire
of
thing?
His or someone else?
No, in general.
Justin Timberlake 2020 Experience,
first
part. Yeah, I still play it. Then probably like Beyonce. And then I did Pharrell's for like a week or two, and then I realized that some of it wasn't for me. So, but yeah, I'd say
Justin. What about you, Justin?
Pharrell. I'm looking back on my Spotify playlist, but Pharrell definitely was one that I could play straight through. Beyonce's album definitely can play straight through. And I'm trying to think of like a real hip-hop album if I've had that this year.
Think really, really hard.
But if I have to think about it that hard, then that's probably saying a lot. So,
right. Yeah.
You know, yeah, I can't really say that there was something there that was really grabbing me in terms of a pure hip-hop album or something like that, unless we want to go farther back and say Kendrick, but I'm tired of saying Kendrick's name.
So. Do you need to go 2012. that far back when Drake's album came out?
Yes.
I mean, nothing was the same grew on me, but I still don't play that straight through.
I play after the fifth track on the album. That's when I get into it. I don't play.
Did like I did like Mariah Carey's album. I got a week.
I did not enjoy Mariah Carey's
album. I haven't listened to it yet because she made me uncomfortable. Also, sorry guys, I'm a visual person, so like if I'm uncomfortable with like what's going on, I just can't.
As far as their life.
Just like if I feel like your packaging's kind of weird or you look crazy on television performing, like I'm not listening. I don't feel like investing that time because I feel like you haven't invested the time to do your job.
All of their marketing factors comes into play when you are
looking forward to
an album.
Has to connect. Like Justin Timberlake, if he was walking around wearing jeans and tees with 2020 Experience, I would struggle trying to like get through it. Mariah Carey was on a Today Show and forgetting words of her own song, and it was just like, Mimi, we love you. So I did listen to like all her like older material.
I will say that
I haven't gotten into the Elusive.
Oh, say it's Sage of Gemini and Baz or Boss. Boss. Do you say Boss? Yeah, sorry, Boss. But no, that's a good project. And Sage of Gemini, I found myself like letting that like just run straight through a couple of times.
I just want to say that Mariah Carey's Vines of her on the train made me like her even more.
Yeah, I mean, that was cool.
That didn't make me listen to her album more than what I was listening
no,
to.
No, I think it's cool.
But
I think that
yes.
She's coming to a point where she wants to be humanized a little bit, but it's...
Too late for that, Mariah.
Yeah.
Too late for that.
It is. But yeah, just as far as Trey's album, his look being cohesive, like he really took time on this, the artwork around it. If you see like the social media campaigns and everything, like everything sort of goes in line. And you can tell that him and his team have invested a lot of time and a lot of thought into what's going on. And like, I respect that too. Like it's he's come a long, long way.
What are you listening to?
Oh, you guys know that I'm just listening to Sam Smith, so that's not even answer that question.
Actually, that was the last album I listened to,
the album that I'm still listening to from top to bottom.
I'm not on that ship yet.
I had to...
I'm not on that boat.
You will not be on the podcast anytime soon after this.
I am so sorry.
She was on it. My coworker was like, you gotta listen, and I was like, all right, and like, I listened, but it put me in my feelings, so like, I have to just watch the time of day I listen to it. I can't do it on the way to work.
I was watching, when I was watching the BET Awards, our friend Damien texted me and said, "Sam, this show could use some Sam Smith."
And I wish he was there.
True.
Yeah,
true.
It would have been good.
Speaking of the BET Awards, the one thing I walked away really enjoying was Nicki Minaj's speech, which people are still talking about, which I still see gifs of and I enjoy. What did you guys think of the speech? Before and after, people assumed that it was about Iggy Azalea, and she cleared that up today on Twitter.
I loved it. What did you think, Tosh?
I was really uncomfortable. I think that...
A lot of things make you uncomfortable.
Yeah. No,
this is
like,
this is good.
I was cool with everything.
So were you in the back?
I was in a trailer on the roof of some building during the whole show watching it. And I think that... The whole first part of the speech, you know, her saying, you know, if Nicki Minaj raps it, Nicki Minaj wrote it. No, Shay. Like, all that's
keep,
cute.
Keep doing
right.
that.
Until.
Like that the whole podcast.
Until it goes left.
She should have talked that way.
And
that
podcast.
Way the entire podcast.
Like, until you go left and you're talking about you almost died last week and didn't want to call TMZ. Like, I feel like people are totally ignoring that. And it sort of concerned me a little because that's what made me uncomfortable. You throwing shade at...
That did make me uncomfortable. I was kind of like, yo, why... You went from not wanting to harm yourself, so TMZ, because... Or you went from not like wanting to seek help and wanting to be by yourself for your own issues because you didn't want TMZ covering it, to then just announcing that you had issues to the world.
Yeah.
So to me, that was like, that was really awkward. I did like her going at Iggy, though. I think that that's...
That is
Suge Knight at the Source Awards.
That is Vanilla Ice
going at MC Hammer one time at the American
the
Music
Source
Awards. Don't quote me on that, but I think that happened.
You're
I mean, it's
this
great.
This is being recorded. So.
It's great to see that kind of honesty. Just call it what it is. The other thing I think is that Nicki... I got to give Nicki props. She could have been over this award that she has won 5 times, right? But it is the only space in which her abilities actually gets recognized in an honest way. And I think that's one of the reasons why she came at Iggy. Like, yo, like we have, you have the Grammys, you have all of that stuff, and you will have all of that stuff, whatever. But you're in my house. The BET Awards is where I run the show, and I get this award because I write my rhymes, and nobody is trying to manufacture me. So I can really respect the fact that she still respects the award, and that can't be ignored.
My coworkers and I were talking about that and how we love to see Nicki come and like Wayne come, and we're sort of disappointed to not see Drake anywhere in the house. But I think that Jozen's correct. I think that's the one place Nicki can really like talk her stuff.
Well, I think because you guys also give her a platform that maybe others
don't.
Other award shows do not.
That's true. But I think I think she's the dopest, and I don't think she's just a great female rapper. I think she's a great rapper, and I don't feel like she really gets props from her counterparts enough. Sorry, I'm still stuck on Kendrick's Control verse and how you want to talk about King of New York and Nicki Minaj wasn't mentioned, and it causes me to gag every so often. And people are like, why would you want Nicki mentioned? And I'm like, because those other rappers that he was talking about, I mean, they do stuff, but like, you know, you can't see her. That's why she came back with Looking.
And I don't think the Iggy diss is really that personal. Look at the Vine where she's dancing to Fancy.
Right. Wow.
I love that. She just had to wake other people up. You know what I'm saying? Iggy, do you. I think that's what she was saying. But
don't get it twisted.
But don't get it twisted. And other people need to know that what I do, mm-hmm. like, I have to work for this award.
Right. Well, last year, this driver named Ransom said that he wrote Nicki Minaj's, or wrote some of Nicki Minaj's raps.
I remember
he's
that.
He's not spitting them, though.
Ran who?
he's not spitting them, though.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know if it was an Iggy Azalea diss. I think it came at a weird time.
Oh,
it was right after
I see what you're saying there.
I'm just saying that
It was a message
to everybody, not just Iggy.
I don't think it
That's
was
smart. I forgot about that.
I don't think it was too. If it was too Iggy, I don't think it was only too Iggy. I don't think it was really too Iggy at all. But I feel like that was a message for more than just one.
Because
person.
Yeah, because more than one person has said that she doesn't write her rhymes, and that's a common thing that you hear with women in hip hop, that the man. The head honcho in the crew is the one writing the rhymes. You've been hearing about that as far back as Little Kim.
So that is as much time as we have today.
I just want to
finish this so episode
fun,
by
though.
Saying that please don't ever compare that to Suge Knight at the Source Awards. Because that is Suge Knight. You knew who Suge Knight was talking to at the Source Awards. You knew what was going on. This was not the case. But, you know. Thank you to both of you for coming through. And
no problem.
Thank you for having.
I'm sure you guys will be back on.
Us.
Maybe not Josen because he hasn't heard the Sam Smith album. But
I have. I'm just not on board with it yet, which probably makes it worse.
But thank you guys for coming by.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.